Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
My colleague Malcolm Holmline is traveling. He's in the region in Israel. We welcome Benham Bentalibou, Senior Fellow for Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. The Wall Street headline is stark. Israel drone strike hit Iranian weapons facility. The operation by the Mossad intelligence agency is said to have achieved its goals. Benham, a very good day to you. What goals? This is a drone strike on Iran. Iran is now boasting of its drone strikes on Ukraine. Are drones the new in the Middle East? Good evening to you.
A very good evening to you, John. You know, drones are cheap. As you know, they're unmanned. They're unmanned aerial vehicles, unmanned combat aerial vehicles, or loitering munitions. You need less money can be spent into producing or procuring them. And everyone has them, the Turks, the Israelis, the Iranians, the Americans, even the Russians. And so you are seeing this proliferation of precise long-range strike capabilities across the region, in many ways akin to the precision strike revolution in the U.S. In the 1980s. It's a capability that will trickle on out. And in this sense, this is not the first time the regime has been struck with drones, particularly these kinds of drones, which are quadcopter drones. They're cheaper. You can have bomblets attached to them. They're based on a pre-existing commercial model. And most important thing for the audience to note here is that in the three times that it has been assumed that Israel used quadcopter drones to strike Iran, once against a centrifuge manufacturing plant in Karaj in 2021, once against a drone base in Kermanshah in February 2022, and more recently now in January 2023, against a site associated with Iran's drone and missile program. The range on these things is quite telling. It's really just, I think, under 5 kilometers. So this means that there has to be a local team engaging in these kind of drone attacks on the regime's military capabilities, local teams on the ground. And if you may recall from a few years ago, there was a former Iranian intelligence minister talking about how punctured and penetrated the Islamic Republic actually is by foreign intelligence services. And that he said, if I'm not mistaken, the regime officials should not be sleeping soundly at night. This latest drone attack on, again, the regime's military missile and drone capabilities, which weaken the regime's long-range strike capabilities, could be yet another sign of how punctured this regime is. And you mentioned the transfer to Russia. As the regime tries to flex its muscles abroad, when you simply look at what is going on at home, whether it's the protests, whether it's the collapse of the currency, or whether it is attacks on these kind of armed depots, it actually shows you how far the rot has grown and how weak the regime actually is.
Malcolm?
We see that Iran generally increases its aggressiveness abroad as the situation at home deteriorates. And clearly it is still deteriorating, even though there's less coverage of the demonstrations. So do you see the reports of Iran's warships in Latin America, the efforts in Syria, stepped up efforts in Syria, the threats in against Iraq? Do you see them all as a reflection of this formula, or is something else at play?
I think it's important for audiences to remember these are areas of bad behavior the regime has long been active in. So the debate is not as black and white or as monadic, but certainly when there are problems at home, the regime loves to deflect and look for opportunities to distract and, you know, feign or allege that it is strong abroad. So I think the Latin America trip, that was kind of pre-planned. In particular, it's a similar oil tanker that Iran has converted into a potential military supply ship that in the past actually helped move an Iranian frigate all the way from Iran towards Russia for a military flotilla parade in 2021 or 2022, if I'm not mistaken. So the regime is trying to flex some of its evolving naval capabilities and muscles there. But on the Iraq front, the Syria front, the Lebanon front, the Yemen front, this is, you know, par for the course of the export of the revolution. And just to draw your attention back to that drone attack, the regime has said that it will respond, and it in fact identified where it might respond. It's pinning the blame on Kurds in Iraq, that the strike may have originated from Kurds in Iraq. Remember, we talked about a smaller range for these drones. And this would be if the regime does end up using drones or missiles to strike Iraqi Kurds. This would be in the past year. They did it four times, once in March, once in September, and twice in November, using ballistic missiles at civilian targets in Iraqi Kurdistan. So there may be yet another attempt by the regime to do exactly what you said, which is to feign this kind of strength abroad.
The protests, Benham, do they continue? Have they changed in any direction? Is one part of the ethnic community emphasized over another?
There certainly is a growing regional dimension to the nationwide protests that have been going on since September 2022. And while it may not be puncturing the Western press as much as it did in, you know, September, October, November, or even December, January 2020 still in the social media accounts from protests throughout January 2020 still show robust protest activity, albeit in a slightly more different geographic and demographic disposition that you alluded to. The regime's military crackdown has been hard, particularly hard in the north, northwest, where there are ethnic communities, particularly the Kurds, and in the south, southeast, in Iranian Baluchistan, particularly near Zahedan, the capital of that province. There is a very, very helpful, I think, video graphic of where the regime's military crackdowns continue on the Washington Post just a day ago.
Malcolm?
Yes, so we saw last week the Juniper Oak massive military exercise between Israel and the United States. Clearly a message to Iran that the two countries are working together and have considerable capabilities, which were demonstrated in these actions. Yet Israel did this alone. What is the message? Is CENTCOM likely to take a more active role, do you think, in addressing the challenges from Iran?
I fear that structurally there is U.S. defense and security policy interest dissipating from the counter-Iran mission in the Middle East. I fear ultimately all of Washington and all of the bureaucracies are kind of focusing on this great power competition paradigm and unfortunately de-linking Iran from that great power competition, which will only come to haunt them in the future. Now, I think the Israelis have a fundamentally different view of this, and I think their view is more grounded to the truth, the empirical changes to Iran's foreign and security policy, the risk tolerance, the aggressiveness that we see, as well as the kind of military revolution with drones, cruise missiles, and ballistic missiles that the regime is employing. In fact, conversely, you see CENTCOM interested in pulling forces out and experimenting with unmanned assets. If you remember last year, CENTCOM had talked about these unmanned naval drones doing patrols rather than CENTCOM ships. And the Iranians saw them and simply tried to capture them, again, because they were unmanned. So things that the U.S. is doing to mitigate its regional force presence as it's interested in other theaters, the Iranians see as an invitation to test evolving American capability with evolving Iranian resolve. And that, I think, could be one area where you might see an accidental or unintended conflict in years to come.
How's the conversation between the Kremlin and Tehran? Any change?
It depends from what your starting point is. Most certainly the provision of these drones and the continued supply of these drones and the reported allegations of the IRGC or Iranian military trainers being on the ground there to help the Russians with force employment of these weapons certainly keeps the Islamic Republic as the junior partner, but in a much more shiny, buffer, attractive junior partner that has a greater utility for the Russians than you would say, 5 years ago or 10 years ago. I think these are the trend lines of the future, that the bad actors who oppose the American-led world order are increasingly focusing on their areas of convergence rather than divergence. And when you see the struggles Putin has had with resourcing his war, and the struggles that the regime in Tehran has had with resourcing their aggression and foreign and security policy and export of the revolution, there is another reason that is binding these actors in the future, which is that they see the success of their domestic legitimacy as intertwined with the success of the other actors. So Russia, China, North Korea, Iran, very different regimes, but increasingly coming together.
Benham Bentaleblou is a senior fellow at the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. Malcolm Hohnlein, Conference of Presidents, Major American Jewish Organizations. He's traveling. He's in Israel. I'm John Batch.
Tonight Take a look under your bed. Find stuff under there? What about jobs? No? Now try your basement. There's a pair of overalls that overall you're not so into anymore. A perfectly good laptop that hasn't sat in your lap in months. And even more stuff, but still no jobs? Well, you really have both. See, stuff is defined as household articles considered as a group. Sometimes this stuff is no longer needed. Wait, no longer needed? That can't be right. Because remember those jobs you were looking for? Those are really needed, and they're the stuff inside your stuff. Even inside that winter coat that moved with you to Phoenix. Our job is to unlock those jobs, and it starts when you donate your stuff to your local Goodwill. Here's how we do it. When you donate to Goodwill, we sell your stuff to provide job training for people right here in your community. So just by teaming up with Goodwill, you help create jobs. And isn't that worth parting with the leftover keytar from your 80s cover band? Goodwill. Donate stuff, create jobs. Find your nearest donation center at goodwill.org. A message from Goodwill and the Ad Council.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.